All right. Good morning to y'all today. I'm glad that you decided to listen, and just a few things I want to remind you that next Sunday, the first Sunday in June, we will be meeting together here at church at 10:30 a.m., and we'll have just one service, and we'll have no Sunday school, no junior church, no nursery, no choir. And so we just want to come together. Obviously, we want to ask you to continue to practice some social distancing. And we want you to come if you feel comfortable. And we want to, we will have church together. I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you are as well. I know I've talked to many of you. And a lot of people have expressed how they miss each other. So I just want to remind you of that. That'll be the first Sunday in June. And I believe that's June the 7th, I think. So anyway. But you might want to check your calendars on that. And so, but I am glad you're listening today, and I hope you're doing well. And I just want to tell you, I do miss you. Me and my wife are missing y'all. And so anyway, if you have your Bibles, I want to go and ask you to turn once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I know last week I said it was my last sermon. But I must confess, I lied. I didn't mean to lie, but I did. And so, but I just got to looking, and I noticed that I really was leaving off a few verses at the end. Basically, verse 14 through 20, for the most part. And I got to looking at it, and I decided that I wanted to preach a message from that. And I do believe I prayed about it. I believe the Lord as well led me to preach this, and so I don't want to look. I've entitled the sermon "The Paul Endorsed Servant." The Paul Endorsed Servant, and the theme here really is just I want to look at the key ingredients of becoming a Paul Endorsed Servant, or you could say Paul Approved. You know, it just hit my hand just now. Y'all remember the cereal? I think it's called Kicks or something like that, that said mom approved, cereal, had less sugar or something in it. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, is that here in these last verses, we see here that Paul mentions different servants of God, and obviously he mentioned them in a good way, which means he endorsed them. When we talk about endorsements, the word endorse means to declare your approval for something. And that's exactly, you see that many times in politics. You'll see somebody who endorses a certain candidate. In sports or in advertisements, you'll see that certain people endorse a certain product. For example, you may have seen on the commercials, I think it's called Copper Fit, and it's Brett Favre and Jerry Rice, a famous quarterback and one famous wide receiver, and they're endorsing this product. And what they're saying is, I approve this product. They're basically saying that this is the best product that you need if you have an injured elbow or injured knee or even an injured back. Well, in these closing verses, Paul does the same thing. He endorses, and really in particular, seven different servants of God. The first one you can see there is in verse 10, Timothy. And then it goes on down, we see that in verse 12 he mentions Apollos. And then in verses 15 he mentions Stephaner and his family. Then if you look down in verse 17, you'll see that he mentions Phoenicus and Archaicus. Then he also mentioned in verse 19, Aquila and Priscilla. All of these, for the most part, got an endorsement from Paul. Steve, think about it. If you look at verse 10, or verse 11, he talks about Timothy. Paul basically tells them to accept Timothy. He said in verse 11, "Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. for I look for him with the brethren. I mean, once again, remember the church of Corinth was very divided, okay? And so he said basically accept him. So he's endorsing Timothy. The same thing true of Stephanero. He says here in verse 15, we talked about this last week, on verse 16, he basically said, submit yourselves to them, to Stephanero and his family. And then later in verse 17, he tells us that the three men came to him, and he said, they were refreshing to me. In some way, Paul is endorsing these servants. He's saying that these are servants of God, and I approve of them. So with that being said, I got to thinking here, you know, what ingredients, what type of characteristics did these people have that we need to have? What can I do if Paul was here today? What should I do to, in other words, that Paul would be proud of me? What can we do to have our name at the end of this letter? I want to ask you, are we the servants where Paul would write our names down? And that's what I want to look at, and I want to look at here at four ingredients. Nothing fancy today, but four ingredients of how we can be a servant. And really, not to be endorsed by Paul, but to be endorsed by Jesus Christ. We need to be a servant that God has called us to be. So I want to get four things this morning that I believe could be a help and also a somewhat of an evaluation of where you're at as a servant of God. Number one, you can write this down. Here's the first ingredient. Be addicted to others. Be addicted. You know what addicted means. A lot of times we see that with a drug addiction. It's something that consumes us. You say, well, where did you get to that? Well, let's look here at verse 15. It says this, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The first thing I want to point out here is the decision of Stephanus and his family. If you want to, you can turn to chapter 1, verse 15 of 1 Corinthians, and this is what it says. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus, besides, I know not whether I baptize any others. Right here, it tells us that Paul baptized this man and his household. You know what that tells me? That tells me that somewhere along the line, that this man made a decision to follow Christ. He made a decision to put his faith and trust in Christ, and let us know that he made a decision to get saved. And I will say that's great. But his decision didn't stop there. He didn't make just a decision to get saved. He made a decision to serve others. And we see that here in the description. I've already read verse 15. I got ahead of myself, to be honest with you. But let's look there once again at verse 15. It said that in the midway, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, if you read like I do, behind different translations, you'll see in the ESV that this is what it says. They have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. So here's the question. What does this word devoted mean? What does this word addicted mean? Well, it literally means to place, to set, to appoint. Robert Ward Pickering said this noble family appointed themselves to be ministers to the saints that needed it. And it's the ideal, it's not the ideal that they pushed themselves to get leadership, rather they saw a need and went to work without being asked to. That's what it means here, that they were addicted. And then it says here, they were addicted to the ministries. I know, I can only tell you right now, I understand that even right now, as I'm preaching, this sermon is not just going to just get you fired up, okay? I understand that, but I want you to look here at the words of God here, and because that's what's important, by the way. Us getting all riled up is not what's important. What's important is for us to look at what God's word said, and it says here, they have addicted themselves to what? The ministry. So what does ministry mean? You ready? It means serviceable labor. It involves a passionate love toward the needy within the Christian community. So, like I said, it's real simple, not going to be complicated. And they did what they did. They voluntarily placed themselves in a role to serve others. That's what it means to be addicted. They said, I am going to voluntarily, I'm going to put myself in a place to where I can serve others. Can I be honest with you? Most of the time, our flesh doesn't want to do that. Let's be honest. I mean, we catch ourselves wanting not to serve other people. Or we have certain things we want to do. But we don't a lot of times just say, I'm going to do whatever needs to be done. Well, that's exactly what they did. They were addicted to people so much that they said, I'll do anything to help them. And here's what they did. They were addicted to others. Here's the thing. Now, it's great. They got saved. That's great. In chapter 1, we see they were baptized by Paul. But you know what I thought about? How many people, they get saved, yet they almost just kind of stop there. That's it. They get saved, they sit on a pew, and they don't do anything else until the day they die. You know, that's not what Christ has called us to do. That's not even biblical, honestly. I don't really know if someone who's saved is going to do that, to be honest with you. But that's a whole other sermon in itself and all a debate we could have. But, you know, you're not called just to warm a church pew. Okay? We are called to be addicted to people. We are called to be serving other people. And one of the things here is especially each other in the church. We are to be devoted to others. That's what got their name written down by Paul. This is what, when Paul got up and gave a plaque, Paul gave it to this family because they were addicted to other people. Now you say this, well, how do I do that, Brother Will? How do I become addicted to other people? Well, here's the answer. Now this is my answer, okay? I think I could give you Bible verses, but this is my philosophy, okay? So I want you to understand this. Here it is. Ready? Fall in love with people. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about it. Brother Mike back there, and he'll probably agree with what I'm fitting to say. We are addicted to what? Hobbies. We're addicted to sports. We're addicted to family. Sometimes we're even addicted to work. Why is that? Here it is. God, we love them things. I mean, why do people sit down every Saturday to watch football? Why do people get up at 4 o'clock to go fishing? Why do people get sunburned playing golf all day? Why do people go to work and work all the time? Because why? Because they love it. People love money. People love this hobby. People love this and that. And so what happens? We become addicted to what we love. Here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand. Is that if you want to be addicted to people, then you need to learn to love people. Fall in love with people. Here's the problem, though. I'm afraid we have become addicted to stuff and ourselves rather than people among us. Here's my question. What are you addicted to this morning? Like I said, this probably isn't going to get you all riled up today, but I think it's an important question. What are you addicted to? What are you addicted to? Because one of the things that a servant of God should be characterized by is that we're addicted to people. And I don't know about you, but I know I could probably be a little better at that. I could probably be more addicted. But let me ask you, that is exactly what you need to do to become a Paul endorsed servant, you need to be addicted to others. Secondly, you need to be appreciated by others. Look at verse 17. What do you mean? Look at verse 17. It says that I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Phoenicus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Look at verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge them that are such. Now, what we see here is an appreciation. Now, by the way, just a little side note. But it is really the evidence if you're addicted to people. If you find yourself being appreciated by other people, it probably is a sign that you're addicted to other people and helping them. But anyway, but here that we need to strive today to be addicted, or excuse me, to be appreciated by people. Look with me in verse 17, we see the report. See, here you don't really see the context here, but in verse 17, what happened here, and obviously Paul is writing a letter, okay? Well, he had information about the church of Corinth. You know, we have to ask that question. How did Paul know what to write? Well, right here's what it is. Three men came to him to give him a report. One of them said this. They were an official committee sent to the from Corinth to Ephesus to confer with Paul about the church problem, okay? So Paul had already been getting wind from other people, like the family of and different people, but an official committee. It'd be like if Brother Mike and Brother Don and Brother CD that we were having a problem at the church. It'd be like they took a journey to meet with somebody who's greatly respected. And they came to him and said, hey, this is what's going on. And that person sit down and wrote a letter. That's what's happening here. They took and reported to Paul what was happening in the church. These men cared enough about the church to go to Paul. So here's the reaction. Look at verse 18. We see the reaction here. It says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. So, it says that Paul was refreshed. That means that obviously, there's no doubt, and I studied this out, there's no doubt that some people talk about this, that Paul had been restless. You know, Paul, I don't think we understand how much Paul cared, how much Paul loved people and the church. And he loved the church, and there's no doubt he was restless about wanting information about what was going on. And you know, kind of like, he wanted bad news and rather than no news at all. He wanted to know what was going on, and it said that they refreshed him, and obviously there's no doubt that the fellowship refreshed him as well, having someone to talk to. Paul, his reaction was, yeah, I was refreshed. He said, as well as the Corinthians. It says, and look with me. It says here, in verse 18, it says, and they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously, Paul's saying that the people as a church will be refreshed by the fact that they'll come back with Paul's letter. Now, here's the point. I don't want you to really get caught up on that. Look at me in verse 17. We see the recognition. We see the report. We see the reaction. But then at letter C, we see the recognition. Look at verse 17. It says this, I'm glad of the coming. It says here, he's glad. It's the idea, and it says this, give and therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So basically what happens here is Paul said, man, these three men came, they refreshed my soul and refreshed my spirit, they refreshed yours, and he said, I want you to know that I'm glad, and then this, and I want you to give recognition to that. You say, what's the point? The primary point is that in these verses, we see Paul's own appreciation for these three men. Paul appreciated what they did, and Paul wanted them to appreciate them as well. I thought about this. We need to conduct our lives in a way that people appreciate us. Now, I want you to get this. This is where the rubber meets the road right here, okay? I know that this is not my... I'm not real comfortable today. I don't know why, but I'm not real comfortable today. I don't know why. But I want you to listen to this, because it's good. We need to conduct our lives in a way that when we're around people, they appreciate us, not despise us. I want you to hear that again. We should conduct our lives and be a servant of God to the fact that when we leave, people appreciate us, not despise us. Let me ask you. After you've been around people that you know or people you don't know, when you leave, do people appreciate the fact that you were there or do they despise it? Hey, be honest with yourself. I'm afraid the only thing that some people appreciate, I'm afraid the only thing that some people appreciate about us is when we leave. I think the only thing that makes people happy about us is when we leave the room. That shouldn't be the case. When we walk into a room, not that we should try to be Mr. Popular, that's not what I'm saying. But when we walk into a room, we should have people be appreciated about that, not, oh man, there he is. Oh no, there she is. That should never be a characteristic of a believer. You know, like if you go into somewhere, maybe a business, you shouldn't be that person. Oh, look out, here she come. Look out, here he come. No, it should be the other way. People should appreciate us because of the way we conduct ourselves. Let me give you a little illustration. I had the pleasure of going to the tag office. I guess it's the DMV, I guess is what it is, to get a tag for a trailer. And the Lord tested me yesterday. He really tested me. And I kind of failed a little bit, I think. I think I failed more than I passed, but at least on the inside. But I got a lady who was not very nice. She was pretty rude. She was pretty snappy. And she didn't do a good job, to be honest with you. The form she gave me had my name misspelled, which I didn't even catch it. Someone else called it later. But my point here, and I went in there, and she was snappy, and she was rude, to be honest with you. And when I left the room, I'll be honest with you, I despised her. If I could have cracked the knot of her hand, I would have, if I could have got away with it. I mean, I was pretty upset on the inside. Well, I went back in an hour later with the same information to ask another question. I got a different lady, but this lady was very helpful. She wanted to be at work, I guess. I don't know. She was very helpful. She was very kind. And I actually was able to get my tag. And when I left the room, I remember thinking to myself, I remember saying, thank you so much. You have been very helpful. I had a certain appreciation for her. We should strive to be that second lady. We should strive to be that second lady who was helpful. Who, when I left, I always remember I appreciated the fact that she conducted herself. And when I would say, a Christ-like manner. That is what we need to do. If we want to be a servant of God, we need to strive to be the type of person that when we leave the room or when a person leaves our presence, we are appreciated by them. But sadly, I'll be honest with you, many times we're the first lady. Let's be honest. You say, no, let's be honest. How many of y'all have been the first lady who've been snappy and rude and ugly? How many of y'all have acted in such a way that you would be afraid to invite someone to church because of the way you acted? Let's be honest. That's my point. My point, we need to strive to be appreciated because we are actively loving and caring and acting the way Jesus would. You know, you always heard there's a new thing now, I think, but you know, a long time ago, there was that phrase, what would Jesus do? If we really need to live the way Jesus would do, by the way, I can tell you what Jesus would do. Read the Gospels and you'll know. Like that. But if you act like Jesus would, you will be appreciated. So to become a Paul endorsed servant, We need to be addicted to others. We need to be appreciated by others. And thirdly, we need to be affectionate to others. Look with me here in verses 19 and 20. We see here, and he said, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord when the churches that are in their houses. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. So we need to be affectionate to others. We see the demonstration here of the early church. The demonstration, we have four different groups that saluted the church of Corinth. We have the church of Asia. We have the Aquila and Priscilla. We have the church that met in their house. And then the last phrase, it said in verse 20, all the brethren greet you, which we're not sure exactly what that entitled, and either was other churches, or in actual with a group of people who were with Paul when he was writing this letter. But what we see here is that they saluted the Corinthians. Now, here's the question. What does salute mean? Well, let me read you a definition. It means this. It implies a warmth and well-wishing. It's such a greeting in person. And in a normal culture, it would involve an embrace and a kiss on the cheek. It was a sign of affection. And so, when you said, I salute you, it was the idea that if I could be there, I would greet you with a warm hug and a warm kiss. Which, by the way, was very common. We don't kiss now, not like that. But, you know, it would have been a very common a way to show affection to one another. Basically, all these churches in verses 19 and 20, and the people who were aware that Paul was writing this letter, were saying this, hey, Paul, tell them that I said hello and that I love them. That's what's happening here. They're showing affection to the church of Corinth. We see that demonstration, but we also see the direction of Paul. Look here in verse 18. We see the direction. In verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. So right here we see the direction. Paul is actually a command. Paul says greet one another. And obviously the saint to greet is the same word as salute. It's still the ideal to show affection to each other. But this time, he adds something. He said, greet each other with a holy kiss. So I'll say it again. This was very normal. It was in the culture, it was normal. It was normal to embrace and kiss on the cheeks. But it also was holy. Paul put here holy to make the ideal or to let you know there was nothing sexual or romantic about this. Okay, so a lot of times we strive away from saying love people or show affection because our world is so perverted. Well, Paul here is saying this is not a sexual or a romantic love. He said, I wanted you to do it to show affection. John MacArthur says this about a holy kiss. He said it was a pure expression of Christian love. Paul gives them a direction to be affectionate. So what we see here, we see the demonstration. Paul's churches, the churches that Paul knew, they said, hey, tell them we love them. Paul commanded the Corinthians to love one another, basically, to be affectionate. Here's the thing. If we are ever to be the servant that we need to be, we must be affectionate. We must be compassionate. It ought to dominate how we act. And I know everybody's sitting there saying, amen, I hope. At least I hope you might be going to sleep. I don't know. But I hope that you're listening right now, and I hope that you're saying, yeah, Brother Will, you're right. We should be affectionate. Amen. But here's the question. Oh, here's the reality. Let me say it like this. Sadly, many times we're not compassionate. Many times we're not affectionate. I'll just be honest with you. I said it a minute ago. I gave you a story about the lady in the DMV. The first lady. I'll be honest with you. I held it together pretty good, Brother Mike. I said one thing I shouldn't have, but for the most part, I didn't do anything out of line. But on the inside, it was a whole different story. I caught myself not wanting to be nice to her. Like I said it a minute ago, and I'm telling the truth. If I could have got away with it somehow magically, I would have cracked a knot on her head. If I could have got away with it somehow, and no one ever knew. That's how I was feeling on the inside. Let me ask you, is that the feeling of affection? No. So, before we go home, and before you get offline today, and say, man, that was a great sermon, or man, that was great, I should love people. Let me tell you this, if you're not careful, you'll struggle with being affectionate. I mean, just to be honest. Oh, and you need to love your grandkids, like, you know, and you need to love some people. But day in and day out, I find myself wanting to be what the Bible says, an eye for an eye. I catch myself, I've said it before, when that lady was ugly to me, and when she was snappy with me, it was my natural reaction to get snappy back. It was my natural reaction not to show grace. It was my natural reaction on the inside not to show love. And you're there too. You can't tell me there's not a time in your life that you can get in a certain situation where you catch yourself not being affectionate. So that's my point. And I'll say this, if you're listening thinking that you would never be me, then you're probably the one that are guilty of not being affectionate. And I'm saying it's more than just on the outside, although the outside does matter. On the inside, I caught myself despising her. I didn't hate her, but I saw that going in that direction, you know. That's the opposite of what God would have done on the inside. That's the opposite of what God does do. I'm glad God doesn't treat me the way I want to treat people a lot of times. So my point here is that we really need to work on being affectionate. Because let me tell you, it's really easy to get caught up in yourself and forget to be affectionate to others. So, it's really the foundation of being a servant. So this morning, and as we conclude, I know it's probably a little different, it's a little different what I usually do, but I want you to know this, as we conclude. Being a servant of God, or being a servant that God approves of, or even a servant that Paul approved of, we need to do three things. I see three things here that I want to leave you with. Number one, let's be addicted to others. Let me ask you, how addicted are you to others? Number two, let's strive to be appreciated by others. Let's strive that when we conduct ourselves in such a way that people appreciate that they were around us. And then number three, let's make sure we are really being affectionate to others, even the ones that make us mad. Because really, that's really the time that really needs to be the most. That's when we really need, that's when we can display the love of God the best. Let's make sure we do that. So three things here that'll help us be the servant we need to be. Be addicted to people. Be appreciated by people. And be affectionate to people. And then the three ingredients that I believe today that I see in the Word of God that'll help us be the servant that we are to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all you've done. I want to ask you to use this morning, Lord. I'm a little scattered, but Father, I do ask you just to use my feeble attempt to help us to grow in the Lord today. In Christ's name, amen.